Sue Peters-Hawke, thanks very much for joining us here at the 5th Elder Abuse National Conference here at the Sofitel Wentworth. How did you get involved in this?
I was asked. It was that simple, actually. The Seniors Rights Service, who have been key organiser of this conference, really had an objective of working with various people to raise attendance as part of raising awareness and expertise in the area. And they asked me if I'd be an ambassador at the conference. And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. It's not an area I have had a lot of involvement in, so it's a learning curve for me, and that's great. And there's also things I can contribute from areas I do know a lot about that have overlap. They're distinct issues but overlap, like a lot of issues in life.
Very, very true, Sue, and so well put. And we've found that here at the conference so far, haven't we? Where there's a lot of overlapping of different issues and different, I guess, different demographics, basically. All Australians in many ways.
Yes, well, Australia is a big country geographically, not really that big relatively in population terms, and very spread out and very diverse in and many types of diversity. We tend to think of multiculturalism, but also there's diversity, obviously, of lifestyle and experience and attitudes and priorities. And so, yeah, it's really complex dealing with service delivery and awareness and all those things, as it is in any country. But in Australia, we have our own particular challenges and strengths, and it's great.
Yes, well said again, sir. And I guess, like me, but your role is obviously a very demanding role in being the ambassador. You've just outlined some of the things you've learned. Will you continue to learn now as your antenna up, so to speak, about the problems faced by the elder people, the community?
Oh, look, I don't think stuff about problems faced by older people in our community is news at all. I've been active in areas that overlap with that a lot in terms of dementia, because age is the biggest risk for dementia, even though not all people with dementia are older. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very well aware of stigma and discrimination, and I also work a lot with positive ageing and ageism campaigns and awareness. So in a general sense, I'm very sort of alert and intrigued and committed in the area, and I do educational and training work as well as advocacy work. But specific issues of elder abuse has not been an area of involvement, and so, yeah, I've learned a lot. I've learned a fair bit about the most prevalent sorts of abuse. I've learned that we know quite a bit, but we need to know more. There's not a lot of good research or prevalence data, or there's evidence-based data to a degree from overseas, and I think a little bit here, on sort of interventions and preventive strategies at work, but we need more.
Yeah, so well said. So well said. Now, I think also with you're appearing, you've got a cross-section of media interest, Sue, because of your role in this, and I believe later on you might be doing some work for some media outside of here, but the project or something?
Yeah, look, I just have an agreement with the conference guys that I'll do whatever's helpful. And, yeah, different media want different. I'm not the only person helping in that respect. There's lots of people. And different media like the idea of talking to different people and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, just whatever. I'll go along with it.
It's a good role that you play too. So I guess through this cross-sectional media.
From you.
Jeez. Now listen to that, and that's
sitting here in agony with my feet up the wall talking to this guy, so what the heck.
And it's like upside down talking, because I'm looking at Sue upside down and she's looking at me upside down, so this is the most unique interview I think I've ever done.
It's quite
fitting. So but appealing to the younger Australians too on such a subject, what do we do there?
Well, I think we need a variety of approaches. I think for a start, we don't damn them, as often happens, or it happens too much. I have enormous admiration for so many diverse older Australians and for different things they do individually and collectively in different areas. I think there's some really fine, fine stuff happening with and by and amongst younger people. I think there are issues. I don't think it's unique to current time or anything that when you're young, if I look back at myself, you tend not to think of your own, unless you've had exposures or personal issues that confront you with your own personal mortality or with the mortality of loved friends or relatives, and you know, many younger people have, but probably a minority. You really don't tend to think of, yeah, well, you'll die one day, and if you're lucky and you don't die young, then you will be old. You're either going to die young or get old is essentially the lowdown.
There's only two choices.
Pretty much. Yeah, and we don't think about it. Oh, I never did, and I still encounter a lot of people who don't, unless and until something gets that up on their radar. I think issues of ageism and elder abuse there's not good literacy across our population about it, and I think that would include younger cohorts of our population. I think there's also various issues of intergenerational equity and disequities. I know I've talked to some younger people who I think, with a lot of justification, say, look, the post-World War II generation were pretty cool. Look at what they built in terms of an infrastructure that had a bottom line safety net and social inclusion stuff around health and education and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys, what have you done? You know, you've wrecked stuff. You've refused to respond to environmental emergency, really. You've made housing unaffordable for us.
So there's a bit of lack of respect there.
Well, yeah. I know, and I know I first have found this confronting. But I think there are real issues of generational equity, and I think there's this sort of thing where if you have a culture of respect for elders and inclusion of elders, and I think also a non-avoidance of death can be relevant.
Would you look at...
Then you also can get elders behaving more like elders, there's more room and social inclusion for them to fulfil some of the traditional roles of being guardians and voices for the community in the future. Like, my life's nearing its end, but I really care about current and future generations, whether that's personally my children and grandchildren or all of society's.
But isn't that wonderful that you're able to say that too? And I guess what you're alluding to maybe is... We see in some cultures, Sue, Asian, European cultures, not so much in the new lands like America and Australia and Canada perhaps, but in these older countries where the elders were listened to and looked up to for advice.
Yes, there's a lot of cultures, diverse geographically and culturally and all those things, that I think have that as an element of culture. But we've also heard some evidence here about how that's not in all contemporary societies translating very well in terms of social inclusion or lack of elder abuse. And so I think whilst we can acknowledge that and learn from cultures, including very much our own Indigenous culture and respect and position for many elders in that culture...
Indigenous cultures around the world, see.
Many have. I don't think it's universal, and I'm not trying to romanticise culture, but I think there just are a lot of approaches to respect and inclusion. Look, I think the key point to make, and this is one of, I think, the key issues that crosses generations, is a human rights-based approach to humanity values every being, at least every human, and then you can argue about sentience and animals and rivers and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But a human rights framework, if we have any sort of commitment or any humanism, whether as a religious or non-religious principle or however that is, if we're not committed to human rights, fine. But I think... A lot of our community, you know, let's be honest, if you're not, fine. And I think in Australia there are human rights abuses, multiple human rights abuses every day, and we sort of don't call it out. Where people are treated with lack of basic human rights, of dignity and respect and agency and self-determination and choice and access to health and transport, all the things that fall out under rights. Wherever people are being restricted or constrained away from that, well, then you potentially got underlying framework that is abusive of human rights.
I think so well said.
Across all ages.
Yeah, and also I think, Sue, human rights, the issue you deal with there, I think maybe, what do you say about the suggestion that that being taught more heavily at schools as a backbone for treatment of all humans?
I don't think that's a bad idea, but research and learning theory shows us that we retain something like 20% of what we learn at school. And so it's not a bad set of inputs. I would applaud it. But the thing is, I think it has to go much further than that in terms of community literacy and demonstrated valuing of and commitment by leaders of all sorts of the human rights of others, as well as whatever, they might sort of, for example, believe in human rights for their family, but nobody else, or they might believe in human rights for whatever. Human rights is something that, whilst stating we believe in universal human rights and being signed to treaties on it, universal human rights, since being first declared by the United Nations soon after World War II, has never been universal. It started off in, say, some of the French stuff and American Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it originally only actually applied to reasonably wealthy white male landowners.
Yes.
And so the issue of universal human rights is this constant... One of the issues of universal human rights is this constant vigilance about just keeping on expanding our capacity to include our good human feeling about all other humans.
Yes.
We might focus more in some places than others, and that's fine and natural. But, well, as Hillary Clinton, I think, famously said at the Beijing Human Rights Conference, women's rights are human rights. The right... combating racism is about human rights.
And aged care is a component of that, just a component, because, as you say, it goes across sections of women's rights, racism and treatment of elderly people. And elderly people, elderly women can be particularly vulnerable too.
Even though we don't have good stats, what we do know, both in terms of valid stats and anecdotal and experiential reporting, is something like 2.5 times the incidence of abuse of women elders, older people, compared with men. And of course, there's commonalities and distinction between different areas of abuse or lack of rights. I sometimes like to not only use the language of abuse, but lack of full constraint upon rights. And I think one of the interesting things about ageism and elder abuse is that a lot of other groups that have had to argue their way into being considered fully human, such as women, for example, or people of colour, or Indigenous peoples, peoples with disability and so on. So the disability rights movement is a really interesting model around inclusion and combating stigma and dehumanisation, and it's increasingly the model that, for example, that the progressive edge of dementia advocacy relies on is not traditional stigmatised idea about dementia, but a disability rights model, because dementia is an umbrella term that covers over 100 diseases and conditions that cause progressive cognitive disablement. And disability rights is a framework that refers to the rights of people with any sort of impairment or disability, be that physical or cognitive. So...
is it about a lack of respect for yourself and other humans that leads to this mistreatment of those that are vulnerable?
I think that would be an oversimplified statement, but I think lack of recognition of all human beings as being basically entitled to respect, recognition, dignity, simply on the basis of being human, not sub-dicing and slicing that, which, although we declare universal human rights, in reality, yeah, we all have lists of people who really shouldn't be treated like they're fully human. The problem is a lot of those historic and, in some cases, many current attitudes are in different places, reflected out in not just in attitudes but in social structures and barriers and supports or lack of and those sorts of things. Yeah, we can say that in relation to so many areas. The interesting thing to come back to about elder abuse, I think, is a bloke can listen to stuff about women's rights and know that they're not included as a subject group. They might be oppositional or they might be supportive or whatever, but apart from a few people who are non-binary or transition sexually, most blokes don't think they're ever going to be a woman. So it's not about them, is a lot of the thing that exists. Or white people, racism isn't personal. The fact that we experience privilege or whatever, whatever, is only just really starting to be talked about in the last few years. The thing about ageism is coming back to that whole thing about you'll either die young or get old.
So
now, we tend not to think about that think about it, but guess what? It's going to happen to every one of us, or unless we die young.
That's exactly right.
And so, this... We do have a personal self-interest as well as a social and community interest, which, good communities benefit all individuals anyhow is one argument you can make. But there's a variety of interests or justifications for saying to everybody, hey, if it's not about you yet, it's going to be about people you care about sooner or later.
That's very similar to the whole idea of not believing or blocking out the idea that you will die one day.
It's related to it. It's related to it. It doesn't occur to you that elder abuse might be personal.
That's right. I mean, maybe this is the way around other abuse too, because mistreatment of women, etc., etc. It really is personal because everyone has a mother, everyone has a,
I think it can be more relevant to some forms of... creating allyship and inclusion around different sorts of exclusion and abuse. I think it varies. I honestly think it varies. It's certainly, I think, a pretty powerful argument around elder abuse.
Yeah, no, well said too, Sue. Sue, thanks very much. It's been absolutely magnificent. What do you hope people take away from this conference?
Oh, look, people will take different things, of course, because there's multiple concurrent sessions too, so we'll all have a slightly different conference and talk to different people and be hit by different points, but I think increased personal awareness of things we haven't known ourselves and increased capacity to advocate, increase confidence, increase networking capacity to work with each other, to collaborate, and increase confidence that we can make a difference.
Very well said. Thanks so much, Sue, and may that back get better soon.
Thank you. It will.